So we'll be carrying on the series looking at Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 8. Before that, we have another reading, which is from Isaiah 52, 53. And this is being read for us this morning by Eve. So here's Eve with the reading.
Today's reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, beginning at verse 13, through to chapter 53, ending at verse 6. The Lord's suffering servant. See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured he seemed hardly human, and from his appearance one would scarcely know he was a man. And he will startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not been told. They will understand what they had not heard about. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
Thank you, Eve. And here's the second reading. And this is Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 to 17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfil what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Amen.
So let's just pray quickly. Father, pray that you'll speak to us through your word this morning, that you'll meet with us, Lord Jesus. You'll open our ears and our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, and that we'll meet with you, Lord Jesus, the healer. Amen.
Amen.
So, in this little scene here, in the evening, we see all these people being brought to Jesus. Broken and suffering and sick people. And Jesus heals all of them. It's a wonderful little scene. It's a little glimpse of the kingdom of heaven coming and God's will being done on earth. Here on earth, we don't generally get to see everyone being healed, but here in this little story, we do. Jesus is there in Peter's house, and as the sun sets, a crowd gathers outside. People are bringing sick and demon-possessed people under the power of evil spirits, to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He drives out the evil spirits with a word, a command. And those who are ill, it simply says he heals them, probably by a touch. These couple of verses, that they sum up the first group of three miracle healings. They bring it all to a close, this first group. The three healing miracles that Jesus performs here in Matthew chapter 8. In the first one, he heals the man with leprosy with a touch. In the second one, he heals someone he doesn't even get to meet by means of a word, a command, as the Roman centurion asks him to. And then in the third, he heals Peter's incapacitated mother-in-law, again, with a touch. So the way Jesus makes people well is very simply through a touch or a word. And that's it. There is no magic spell or formula. There is no special technique. Other people in Jesus' time might have used some elaborate technique or incantation to get rid of an evil spirit. But Jesus, he's different. He just gives the word. And all of this underlines that Jesus has authority. Jesus is the Lord. There is no room in any of these stories for God as a separate character. Jesus speaks and acts with God's full authority, with a word or with a touch. Jesus has God's authority, and specifically here, it is authority to heal people, not just absolute power for its own sake. He is the Messiah, the one who comes in God's name to make all things well. And specifically here, to heal all the sick people who are brought to him. He's not like any king or ruler the world has ever known. He's not using his authority to force his will on all the people, but to care for those broken people who were brought to him. And the figure that Matthew wants us to think about to understand Jesus' authority, or to understand the kind of Messiah that he is that servant from the famous song in Isaiah chapter 53, and the reading we had from Eve from that poem. This servant who will be highly exalted, but who looked shocking and disfigured, who amazed all of the kings and rulers by how utterly different he was. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, it says. Unlike the kings shut away in their palaces, this was a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief, and giving himself to put things right for the people who were like sheep gone astray. And he even endured suffering and punishment for the sake of the people. He was crushed for all their rebellion and wrongdoing, and God laid all the world's sins on him. But what has all that got to do with this story of Jesus healing people at Peter's house? That poem from Isaiah, it obviously brings to mind Jesus' death. But what does it have to do with his healing ministry? Why does Matthew quote it here? Well, the line of poetry that Matthew quotes, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it got translated in lots of different ways. He took up our pain and bore our suffering. He carried our weaknesses and was weighed down by our sorrow. Or in the version Matthew quotes, he carried our diseases and bore our infirmities. What does it mean to say that Jesus carried our diseases? There's a kind of wordplay going on here, because the word that he uses, it could just mean that Jesus took away the diseases. Which is what seems to have happened in these stories. Jesus removed the man's leprosy. He took away the pain and suffering of the centurion's servant. He removed the fever from Peter's mother-in-law. And then he did the same with the diseases and even the demons of the people brought to him for healing. But in bringing in this poem from Isaiah, just here, Matthew seems to be plugging us into a wider understanding of Jesus' whole ministry, everything that Jesus came to do, where he doesn't just take away illness, but takes everything that's sick and broken onto himself in order to put everything right. Because if we step back, we see that there's all kinds of ways that we're messed up and broken, that we're not whole. the way that we're meant to be. There's different kinds of diseases, viruses, skin problems, cancer, organ failure, chronic pain, injuries, shock, fatigue, and then anxiety, fear, paranoia, depression, and all kinds of mental illness, and also spiritual oppression. And Matthew here, he talks about evil spirits and illnesses together, and talks about Jesus removing them both to make people well. And we know all of these different problems and sicknesses, they're linked to deeper problems, our moral failure and sins. It's not true to say that if we get ill, then it's because we've sinned in some way, although generally living in foolish and selfish ways can make us more likely to get ill. But also, it just adds to that much, much bigger and wider problem, the big problem that Jesus came to put right. We add to that problem through all of our foolish ways and all of our sins. And all the brokenness of the world is bound together, physical, mental and spiritual problems, and also social injustice and inequality. We see in the three stories before this that the people that Jesus heals are also disempowered in different ways in Jesus' society. The man with leprosy, he's excluded because he's ritually unclean with his skin disease. Then the centurion's servant, he's excluded because he's a Gentile and Jesus' people wouldn't associate with him. The centurion's servant is then Peter's mother-in-law, finally, although Matthew doesn't make very much of it, she's disempowered because she is a woman. And in all of these instances, Jesus takes a risk in reaching out to these people. Gentiles, people with skin diseases, women were disempowered. And so Jesus takes a risk reaching out to them. Touching a leper could make him unclean. Associating with a Gentile also could make him unclean. And actually, for a man to touch a woman that he wasn't married to could get Jesus into trouble. It was very much taboo for many Jews. All of these things could get him into trouble. And yet Jesus willingly takes that trouble on himself, along with all of the pain and the suffering and the sins of the world. If we think about the way the story works, in the end, it was this trouble that Jesus was willing to get into that led to his death. So I think Matthew, even while he's still telling the stories of Jesus healing people, he wants us to point us to the bigger picture of what Jesus is doing. And as Tom Wright puts it, for Matthew, there is no sharp line between the healing Jesus offered during his life and the healing for sin and death which he offered through his own suffering. It's all part of the bigger picture of how Jesus came to save us. What does it mean to say he carried our diseases? Especially when we think about the different illnesses and pains and problems that we have. And when we think about this COVID-19 disease, I don't know. But we should all reflect on this. And we should all look to God to make this clear to us as he works out, as he works things out in our lives. And as we partner with God, with Jesus, in this bigger work of putting things right. And if we come back to this picture of Jesus on that evening, healing all the many people who are brought to him, where might we fit into that picture? And I think for many of us, we will see that we ourselves, in various ways, we are the sick people who need to be brought to Jesus to be made well. Some of us have stories of Jesus' miraculous healing touch in our lives. Others of us may be on a long and painful journey, still waiting patiently for God to heal us. We still live in a world full of pain and problems and, yes, death. And we can all expect to have trouble in this life, as Jesus said, and we can expect that we all will have to face death one day. But Jesus' whole life and work and death and resurrection points us forward to a future hope of what we call new creation, where we will be raised up into imperishable bodies that will no longer have sickness, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. When evening came, many were brought to Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. Who were the ones who brought them to Jesus to be healed? Maybe that's our role. Maybe that's where we fit into this story. We're the ones bringing people to Jesus. We think back to our own stories and the people who brought us to Jesus. Who were they? We think back to the ongoing work of Jesus in our lives to bring healing into our lives. And we think of those that we know who need healing. We can't heal them ourselves, but perhaps we can bring them to Jesus or do our bit towards that. Some of us may be called to special ministries of healing, where we speak to sicknesses and order them to be gone in the name of Jesus, a special healing ministry. But even there, we are not the healers. We are still the people bringing people to Jesus as best we can. The authority belongs to him. Jesus takes up our sicknesses. He carries our diseases. How will that work out for each of us? We can't be sure. But Jesus sees all our problems and pains and sicknesses, and he is unafraid to come to us and reach out to heal us. He's unafraid of getting his hands dirty in dealing with us. In the story so far in Matthew, we don't see Jesus getting infected by reaching out and taking those risks. But in the end, in a way, he is totally infected. That fearlessness of getting his hands dirty, it leads him to the cross, where all the infection comes on him. All the wrongs, all the pain and sins of the whole world come on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So in a moment, Deb is going to lead us in a time of prayer for healing. This may just be a virtual meeting where we can't lay on hands or touch, but we can use our words. So let's consider now who we know that needs our prayers for healing as we prepare to bring people to Jesus in our prayers.
So as John said, Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who heals. Jesus is the one who bears our infirmities, who carries our diseases, and by his wounds we are healed. So what we're going to do now is just have a time of quiet, and in our minds and hearts we want to bring before Jesus the people that we know and love who really need his healing today. And that might be healing in all kinds of ways. It might be healing in body for physical things. There might also be people that we can think of who have mental health problems, who are suffering from anxiety or depression or other kinds of mental health problems. Or people who are just troubled in spirit. Or people who are suffering from all kinds of spiritual oppression. Or who are just so bound up in sin And we just long for them to come to Jesus and be healed. And just to say, if you are actually with somebody right now in your house who needs healing in whatever way, just please feel free just to reach out a hand as a symbol of bringing them to Jesus. So just in your mind's eye now, just picture those friends and those loved ones who need Jesus's healing touch. Oh, Jesus, you are the one who went to the cross for us. You are the one who bears our infirmities and carries our diseases. You're the one who touches us. You're the one who can bring healing and peace. So, Lord, we lift up to you these people. And all of those who are in our hearts and minds. And Lord, we also lift before you those who don't have anyone to pray for them this morning, and yet who still need your healing. Lord, I ask you to come in power. I ask you to come in gentleness. I ask you to come in conviction by your Spirit. I ask you to come through your Holy Spirit this morning and bring healing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us. We all have areas in our hearts, in our lives, which need healing, whether that be in body, mind, or spirit. So Lord, we come before you ourselves. We come before you in our weakness, in our sin, in our need. And Lord, we ask that you would touch us, that you'd bring healing to our lives in those places that perhaps we don't like to think or talk about, but you know every part of us, Lord. You know what we need. So we offer ourselves to you and ask for your healing power to touch each one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.